Saturday with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.
Welcome back to Saturday with me, Áine Kerr, sitting in for Cullum O'Mungon. I remind you, you can text us on 51551 or on WhatsApp on 0870 32 32 32, or email us on saturday@rte. A reminder of our panel: Maria Walsh, Fine Gael MEP, Kathleen Funchin, Sinn Féin MEP, and Ciarán Mullooney, Independent Ireland MEP. And we're going to tariffs and trade wars now. And President Donald Trump has suggested that another delay to his higher so-called reciprocal tariffs is unlikely, raising pressure on nations to negotiate during this 90-day window. And his officials have been saying that around 90 to 100 countries have offered to negotiate deals against this clock in terms of making new commitments. We heard this week Pascal Donoghue, in his capacity as president of the Eurogroup, and of course our own finance minister here in Ireland, talking about his belief that an agreement could be reach, but there's a lot of work still to be done to get to that point. Kathleen Funchin, Sinn Féin MEP, do you think a deal is on? Do you get the sense in Brussels this week that things are moving into the landing zone, that there is potential of a last mile here?
Yeah, well, first of all, I suppose we really don't know. And I suppose that's the big issue for all the businesses and for all the workers that are out there affected. And ultimately, the people who are going to pay the biggest price is ordinary, everyday citizens. And that's the same in America as well. And you would have to hope that at some point, even if Trump himself doesn't see that, that somebody close to him is going to be able to relay that to him. So it is uncertain. I think there's a possibility if there is negotiations. And it's really important, I think, that the EU are strong on this and united on it. And then from our point of view as Irish MEPs, as much as possible, I think we need to be united in terms of, you know, getting the best deal for Ireland.
Our MEPs? From Ireland united as a front in Brussels at the moment?
I think that we would be. You know, that's just my own opinion. I'm not the one to speak for anybody else. But and in general, I think there is times, I suppose it's a different type of a format in terms of European politics. There are times where people will be able to come together on issues, really important issues as well. So I suppose there's a number of things then out of that. We obviously need to have those negotiations. I think we need to, you know, be as calm as possible, even though I know that's frustrating for people to hear, especially when there's such uncertainty. And then I do think we need to look at, you know, a number of things that we could be doing from, you know, an Irish government perspective too, in terms of, you know, a potential, you know, the way there was Brexit or measures for Brexit in terms of backups and supports for businesses, and then our own Indigenous business here and how we can greater support and grow some of those small and medium businesses.
On that, Maria Walsh, do you get the sense that there is a twin track process here of, yes, we got to go and try and negotiate as a bloc, European countries, but that Ireland has to be thinking about the plan B, that other track, which is get our house in order, have a package of measures to trigger in case a negotiation isn't possible?
Well, I have to say, I mean, from your point, second point in terms of at a national front, that's ongoing and we see elements of that within the budget. I absolutely concur in many ways. I personally think we've taken the eye off our SMEs and they let that be known in the last...
In what way?
Well, look at this. I work from the Gender Equality Committee, so the Women's Committee. 40% of our entrepreneurs in the European Union are women, but yet access to financial support is less than 1%. Take it back to on a national front, about 60% of the businesses across Midlands Northwest, small towns and villages, shops, post offices, hairdressers, solicitors, whatever it may be, some from a South Mayo village myself, a number of female businesses are run. But yet, if you're not exporting or importing or having a large number of 10 employees, I believe those supports are not there. Hence the reason at a European level, I've been working with other colleagues who believe the same, who want to see the likes of a female founders fund.
But what would that look like from an Ireland scenario? If there's been a lot of FDI, and we've talked an awful lot about pharma and multinationals and tech companies.
And they're important.
And you're going back, they're important.
They're incredibly important.
But where does responsibility lie then? If we're going to have this plan B, is that on a Department of Enterprise? Is that an Enterprise Ireland initiative we now need to see?
I think it's both. And actually, to take it back from a European context, which I have to say, that's the land I know best as a two-term MEP. But to take it back, I mean, we have a single market now with about 450 million citizens. That needs reform. And I would say, and I work with EPP colleagues and other colleagues across the House to look at that reform. So I can give you a mechanical engineering company I know close to me in South Mayo has been trying to scale their business in Denmark, but is finding difficulty because of national law, language. But yet he often hears me talk about, well, the single market is there, single market is there. And we need to make it easier for businesses, particularly our own, to scale and drive across those 450 million citizens, while also in the influx of what's happening in the United States. And I think of the drinks industry in particular in this country, who's most impacted, along with many others. I don't want to name only just one, but a few. We need to find other avenues for them to sell into other trade deals too. But the essence of that is a single market reform.
Ciara Mullooly, as you listen to Maria Walsh talk about those other avenues and doing more, do you get a sense that we have our hands on two levers here, that Ireland is supporting European efforts, get a trade deal with the US, but also have a plan B, a package of measures to support businesses, jobs here in Ireland?
Yeah, I mean, undoubtedly it's a tricky game that Ireland has to play. And I think so far, the European Union and the Irish government have played it safe and played it well. I'm deeply worried about a headline on the front of the Wall Street Journal this morning, which says the Americans' strategy now is going to go after 18 individual deals with countries. And this is the problem. This is where the Europe...
So divide and conquer.
Exactly.
But that's why it's important that we work together as a bloc of member states, as well as in Parliament, Commission
and
Council.
This is the problem. When they start knocking them off one by one, is Europe going to hold on this? And one other thing I think is very clear on you in the last 24 hours, there's going to be a deal within the US and the UK within 10 days. Mm. That's obvious now. Trump and the UK have decided on the key issues. So for Ireland now, we must get back to the table in Europe and stick to our heels in regard to our key issues. And you know, Maria mentioned the whiskey thing. What worries me about, and drinks in general, what worries me is what all of this is doing to confidence in the market. Nothing really has changed. Okay, there is a 10% tariff with regard to drinks, and it's there. People in the industry I talk to say, well, you know, we'll suck it up on either end for the moment. But the confidence issue means that one person I spoke to yesterday in government tells me that in the Irish government says they've been told that 90% of our production of whiskey has stopped. Yeah. In this country because of the lack of confidence. And this is that is really, really serious in terms of jobs and going forward.
But in terms of having, you know, preserving optionality, we saw Spain's economy minister this week talk about the EU needing to ratify the Mercosur deal. And he said, as fast as we can to show Europe was open for business. We know Taoiseach Simon Harris has said that the government still had, quote unquote, significant reservations. Do you think, you know, this Mercosur bloc of Brazil, Argentina, Uruguay, Paraguay, the European leaders really need to look to getting this 25 euro deal in the making done in case, again, a trade deal is not possible?
I fear that's exactly what's going to happen when we go back to Brussels next week. I fear we were told initially that the Mercosur deal would actually go through until the autumn and possibly into Christmas before we voted. In recent days, we're hearing this logic coming down the line. We must vote now. It's bad logic, Anya. It's a bad deal for Ireland. It always has been a bad deal for Ireland, particularly for our farming and for our rural sectors. And I totally reject that. And I'll tell you why, because when you look at the lowdown of the deal, it is true we could trade more to South America. It is true. But what you have, you hold. It is true we have a fantastic beef and white meat trade business in Europe. We're going to lose. It was estimated originally at 55 million. It's now up, because of the market values, it's up to about 200 million in losses. I say in Mercosur, what we have, we hold. We cannot speculate down the line about what we might sell to South America. So I don't support any fast deal on this. I think we should wait and get it right.
Mercosur, yeah, Maria Walsh, do you think there is a speedier timeline
no,
here?
No, I mean, just for clarification, much to the colleague there sharing, we haven't voted on this. We won't be voting on this until the legal scrub is done. In its current calendar form, we won't see that until June with the final vote in a parliament.
Do you think there's still
at the end
time
of the year
for Ireland to mount opposition to elements of
well,
the Mercosur
first and
deal?
Foremost, in its current form in the Irish government, as well as colleagues like myself in the EPP and my Fine Gael colleagues, in its current form, it is not fit for purpose for many sectors.
But you could have changed it this week, Maria. You could have changed it this week then. That was my point about you, Fine Gael, voting the way you did. You could have changed the text this week.
Let me just school you a little bit on what in any report on defence and security that had a number of amendments in Mercosur. I can say the same about fisheries. Why did you throw the fisheries under the water with voting for Norway? And I'll finish my point. So no trade deal, no Mercosur text has been finalised. It is currently in legal text. text. We will not see that text until at least June by its current calendar form. We will not be voting on that until the end of this year based off its current calendar form. We still
we
have
time.
I'll just finish my
we
point. We still have time to negotiate. A number of other member states are not fit for purpose. What makes me laugh here is the nonsense and the Trumpian style type narrative that's coming from the colleague over here, because fear. And then on the other hand, it says about a drinks industry.
I have to let Ciarán respond.
Let me just say this. This could benefit in its current form. I don't agree with it, but this could benefit farm machinery, alcohol industry, milk producers.
Let compensation is respond to that particular point.
This will be fine. This will be fine, Áine, if it was true. Because from Maria's party said, we all went around the country during the election campaign. There was no, you know, worry about what it could benefit. Fine Gael said we were against the deal.
The Mercosur deal was finalised
in Kermars, in all over the country in front of farmers. We were against the deal. They got a chance to vote against the deal and to give a clear message to the Commission and the Commissioner, and they voted.
Maria Walsh, I'll let you back in there.
No, I would just say he's referencing an amendment that was put in, and just for clarification, it said in its current form it's not fit for purpose and review is continued on. I would highly recommend everyone listening to go on, not any one of our political websites, but the European Movement Ireland has a fact sheet that stresses the benefits and the causes. But just to bring it back here,
can I bring in Kathleen Funchen just for a moment, because you've been sitting quietly.
Can I just add one point? The Mercosur trade deal from a council level was discussed and agreed in December. Months after we were elected, just to time check that.
You can hear the tension between your MEP colleagues here. Where do you stand on this? Because you can see European leaders have an anxiety now to find more markets that they can sell into, but not at the expense. We know Irish farmers have expressed a lot of dissatisfaction at the deal as it is composed now. So where does Sinn Féin stand on it today?
We oppose the Mercosur deal. There's obviously issues for farmers. In fairness to the farming community, they've highlighted that for a long number of months, if not longer at this point. And there's obviously climate issues too. But I think just to get back to the whole thing around the tariffs, and the EU really does need to be right now focusing on the negotiations. We have this 90-day pause. Maybe there's a potential for longer. And that's where I think our heads should be at. And then separate to that, and sort of, you know, in conjunction with it, we need to see measures being taken here in our own country in terms of supports, and let's start consulting with, you know, the Chambers Ireland and the various representatives, I would say IBEC, the trade unions as well, in relation
and
to
all,
that.
All and that is also, fine. Negotiations, as you say, grants here
there's
and supports.
But
is there a third block there in terms of these new markets? Do you still think there needs to be a review? Granted, that is happening with the Mercosur deal, but that there has to be a pathway into these other markets.
We don't support the Mercosur deal. I don't have a difficulty or an issue with, you know, the idea of exploring other markets and everything, but I do think that's very frustrating for small and medium-sized businesses here to be listening to that when they know that there's a lot of very practical things that could be done to help them. We have a lot of very outdated rules, for example, in terms of rates at local authority level, you know, that it's based on the size of your business in a lot of areas rather than profit and stuff like that. So there is a lot more that we could be doing. And I also think in relation to the situation that we potentially have with two different rates, you know, 25% in the 26 counties, 10% potentially in the 6 counties in regards to these proposed tariffs from Trump. We also need to make sure now that the North-South Ministerial Council is meeting and that we're looking at how we can protect the all-island economy, because we see now we're still dealing with the fallout from Brexit, and that's next year will be 10 years. So there's a lot that we need to do there in relation to measures. Businesses are still trying to come to terms with some stuff from Brexit, and now we're going to potentially have two different tax rates. That needs to be done.
Ciarán Mullooly, going back to your Wall Street Journal headline earlier of potentially US officials trying to divide and conquer a little bit, do you think there is any milestone moment, if this is going awry, where Ireland might have to go on a solo run, given everything we know about pharma in this country, tech services? We've all heard it rehearsed over recent weeks, that might have to break away and just try go
I can see the temptation, but I have to say, so far, as I said initially, with regard to the negotiations, our government, you know, we canvassed the government to go into Europe and take items off the European tariffs on the Americans, such as gluten and brewer's grain. They were taken off by the European Union because the Irish and others spoke out. I want to see that continue. We go through Europe and we fight through Europe. I'm not in favour at all of branching. I'd be greatly concerned about what would happen if we started to do individual wars. I think we would lose badly. There has to be one common force. with regard to the European battle on tariffs. And one other thing, I want to be very clear about, you know, when the farm industry and others come here to talk to us in Brussels, I don't know about Maria and Kathleen, when they come to talk to me, they don't talk about the new markets in South America or elsewhere. They talk about the lack of movement in Europe on things like regulations, clearing drugs at an earlier stage to the drugs risk. They want improvements in Europe's regulations. They're not coming to us shouting for us for new markets in South America. They have markets in South America and will continue to have them.
Maria Walsh, do you agree with that? Hold the line. There can be no solo runs right now.
Simply as a member state, we can't afford it. And I know we'll discuss the current aggression of Russia into Ukraine potentially next. And if you look, the most West Peripheral European Union, that is a laggard in my eyes when it comes to preparedness around defence and security, access to the 26 other markets. I still stand over my point on access to single reform of the single market. If you take it back to Mercosur and the fact that even the likes of Commissioner Shekovic stressing a 1 billion reserve is in play, how we handled Brexit, we wouldn't have even got through that if it wasn't for our counterparts in the European Union led by Michel Barnier, or COVID even. Our reliance as a global player has been too long in the tooth now. And for us to do solo runs, it will decimate our country. And to Kathleen's point around, if the UK and the US do a deal and we see a 10% tariff on the likes of Northern Ireland, and then we potentially get a 20, if not higher percentage, that decimates not just our businesses along the coast or on the border, I should say, but our farming, pharma and various other sectors that so desperately need to say.
About the 1 billion euro that Maria mentioned, it's a slush fund, effectively. The Sechkovic is saying the 1 billion is the backup. Irish farmers won't buy that. We have fantastic markets in the... Look at the Irish beef sector at the moment. It's buoyant. Farmers are we're onto a good thing because we built these markets. If we lose that market, those markets in South America,
Fine Gael will have to explain how they voted. Just to be clear here, because you're standing over that I and my colleagues voted in favour of Mercosur. Kieran Mullooly, that's not true. I voted in favour of an Amendment 1 that called for my concern on the potential negative impact of Mercosur on sustainability and food safety. I have stressed my clarity on the Mercosur deal, and the fact that we still—I'll just finish my point.
Okay,
the fact that we still even haven't had the Mercosur deal, as much as you keep telling people we've had. So I'll wait for your response in terms of an apology and to correct the record, because it's needed, Kieran. It's absolutely needed.
Okay, that's fine. I think you both stated your position, Kathleen Funchen. Just briefly, is Sinn Féin fully signed up to the hold the line? This is a European united front. There can be no solo runs on Ireland's part to the White us.
Oh, 100% in terms of we don't want, how can we have a solo run? What's the point of us being a member of the EU if we're going to go off and do a solo run? It's important that we have the negotiations as a united front, but it's really important that Ireland is really strong in that, and that we're standing up for the Irish interests, the Irish businesses that are affected. Ultimately, you know, Irish citizens are going to be affected in the same way, I say again, that ordinary people in America are going to be affected, and there's very many of them extremely worried as well. And I think, you know, it's important that that's remembered too. But we do need, obviously, everything around the All-Ireland economy and the North-South Ministerial Council, because, you know, it is going to create huge difficulties and issues.
Okay.
If there's two different
there
rates.
We leave that. I'm sure this debate between all of you and Taras will continue. We're going to be back after the break on those discussions between Trump and Zelensky this morning, and going live to protests and demonstrations in Dublin city centre this afternoon. Back after these.
Saturday with Conor Mungon on RTE Radio 1.